This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Well, as you've just heard, the future of many bills at the State House is very much up in the air at this time because of a strong disagreement between the governor and Democratic leaders. So where is all of this headed, particularly this education financing issue? Will there be a resolution during a special session? Will these issues come up in statewide and legislative campaigns this fall? With us to take a look at these issues are Neil Goswami, who is a State House reporter for WCAX-TV, Channel 3, and VPR's Pete Hirschfeld. Great to have you both here.
Good to be with you, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
So we heard the governor say absolutely no increase in the statewide property tax rate. It looks like we're headed towards a special session. Is this the outlook, Neil? Is this the showdown coming in a couple of weeks now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no pretense out there that there's even negotiations going on between the governor's office and legislative leaders. It's just not happening. It's not going to happen. I think you have to get to that point where the House and Senate pass their budget tax bills, education bills. The governor will do what he wants to do with them, and then they come back and hash this thing out this over June.
And Pete, how did we get to this point to have this kind of fight over education financing? Does it go back to last year in part where there was some one-time money used to keep property tax rates down?
I think that there are vestiges of that episode at play here, not so much as it relates to the specific policy dilemmas that they're dealing with, but the dynamic that exists between the legislature and the governor, and the reason why it's been so difficult for them to get in the same room and talk about this stuff in a measured, thoughtful, clear-headed way that might get them closer to a resolution than they are right now. As Neil mentioned, we talked to Senate President Pro Tem Tim Ash just a couple hours ago, and he said he has not had a one-on-one with Phil Scott this week. We're talking about the last week of the session. The two sides at odds over something as basic as a budget, and they're not in the same room trying to figure out if there's a way to get to yes on this thing. I think it speaks to the damage that has been done to the relationship between these two sides.
Neil, it does seem like the legislative leaders are pretty frustrated with the Scott administration at this point. Is that the feeling you get?
Yeah, and I think it's mutual. You know, we hear the sniping back and forth. It's not always worthy of reporting, but there's frustration out there. You know, the governor in the executive branch have one way of dealing with things, and it's very different from how a legislative body operates. We were talking before we came on about how it takes a long time to build consensus over major policy issues like this. And, you know, the governor wants it done now. Well, that's not really how a legislature operates at all. There is no now, typically speaking. It takes time to pull the coalition together. And right now, the governor probably could count on one or two hands how many Republicans would vote for him on his plan, because there just hasn't been enough time to sell it and prove to people that it's the right path forward.
The other thing that seems to be rubbing lawmakers the wrong way is this veto threat mantra that Phil Scott has been throwing out really for months now, that if this budget includes any property tax increase, I'm going to veto this thing. They feel like, well, that's not really coming to the table with an open mind, willing to compromise. What's fascinating is that the tax bill that they're working on right now, the House and Senate is getting together. They had some very big differences over some property tax reforms that the House wanted to institute. But I think what you're going to see come out of that bill is a final proposal that actually brings next year's statewide property tax rate increase to somewhere around 2 or 3 cents instead of the 7 cents that they had at one point been projecting. And I think you'll even see them use a little bit of one-time money to help make that happen. So it's funny that you see them moving toward the governor's position on this, but yet no real conversation between them and the governor to see, hey, is this something we could actually get you to live with? Maybe can you give a little bit on this no property tax rate increase and agree to maybe a little bit of one, and we'll talk about some of these other elements of your proposal. It's just they're just not talking.
And Neil, I asked the governor that question today. What if the Democratic leader said, let's have a 1.5-2% increase in the statewide property tax and maybe use $40 million of the one-time money? Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. Not going to even consider it.
Well, I mean, that's the governor's position now, where he's not staring down July 1st in a new fiscal year. I think the calculation changes when you get close to a new budget year and they're still haggling over these things. I mean, to say absolutely not, no, I mean, that's the legislator's point, that he's not willing to compromise at all. They're trying to find the best path forward. Obviously, the governor doesn't support new taxes, but, you know, sometimes when you're faced with these challenges, you do have to bend a little bit. And my sense is there probably will be some slight property tax increase at some point. Their legislators are willing to use some one-time money. We heard Tim Ash say that earlier today. So they're moving, but I don't think they're going to move all the way.
Do you actually think that the governor will back down off of this no tax increase mantra?
Well, if we're days or hours from a new fiscal year and they're still at this point of no return, I think the calculation changes a bit. We'll see how far he's willing to go, but it's hard to imagine either side would let this budget year lapse and start a new year without something in place.
And lawmakers last year, legislative leaders, I think they had a fear of the politics of going up against Phil Scott mm-hmm. in such a public and, if not bitter way, certainly contentious way. And this year, I think the equation has changed for them. I think that the fear they had about going up against a popular incumbent who's perceived as a really nice guy and that Vermonters just kind of like mm-hmm. Isn't there as much. And I think they're ready to go toe-to-toe with him and not give nearly as much as they were willing to last year.
I think that's absolutely right. But also the political calculation has changed. We noted that there aren't a whole lot of Republicans willing to come out and tout this plan as the best path forward. You asked the governor yesterday, how many educators are on board? And the governor said, I don't know of any. We did hear one, I think, on the program earlier, so there's at least one out there. There are some out there, but I think the governor's point was clear. He hasn't found a lot of support in the community of educators out there.
So, Pete, do the Democrats object to the $60 million in one-time money? The governor's five-year plan and the provisions that are in that, do they object to one more than the other, or is it sort of the whole package deal they don't like?
I think that if you have to isolate the core objection, it's this idea of using this one-time money this year to buy down rates without any guarantee that there's going to be additional money in future years to continue doing that, right? If you buy down rates in just this one year, you're going to have a rate shock in the next year because that money isn't going to reappear to buy those rates down again. You're just putting off the problem for a year. Democrats would note that it happens to be an election year, which they think is one of the reasons the governor wants to do this. The governor, of course, says, look, I've got this education savings plan that is going to ensure we do have more money next year because we've got all these mechanisms in place that are going to reduce education spending by hundreds of millions of dollars. So don't worry that we're spending $58 million now. We're going to be able to pay that money back and then have tons left over to stabilize rates into the future. Lawmakers have zero faith that those savings are going to accrue. They believe there's going to be savings in the education system over the next 5 years. They are unwilling to put a number on it. They're doing these educational reforms for the primary purpose of gaining efficiencies, improving the quality of education in the state, not to save money. If the state saves money, that's a great benefit, they say, but they're not willing to book on those savings. Mm-hmm. The governor, though, takes the approach that let's go ahead and put a number on it and drive costs down, and we'll figure out how to make that happen in the least harmful way.
And Neil, what the governor said was, okay, let's say it's not $400 million. Let's just say it's 25% of that. It's $100 million. Yeah, it's still worth doing.
It's still savings. You know, and you can follow the logic there, right? It is still savings. Enough still to cover, he says, the $58 million loan in one-time money for holding down tax rates this year. But as Pete noted, their legislators just do not have confidence that they can put a number on it that will stick and will actually pan out over the next 5 years. And unless they can find a real sense of comfort soon, it's going to be a real sticking point moving forward.
you know, Pete, we're talking about how all this plays out at the State House under the Golden Dome, but I wonder how people across the state feel about this issue and whose message they may be agreeing with more. I mean, the governor's message is pretty simple. No new taxes. How do you think that's playing out there?
I'd love to know. I'd love to know the answer to that question. And obviously, the administration is of the view that this is playing really well outside Montpelier. You know, the electorate is not a monolith. I'm sure there's a diversity of opinions around this. And what you feel about what the governor is proposing depends on where you happen to sit in your community. I don't think there's anybody who disagrees either in the State House or outside of it that Vermont has an education spending trajectory over the past 20 years, say, that is really problematic, and that if it doesn't somehow get a handle on education costs, we're going to a place that really is unsustainable from a property tax rate perspective. People are of vastly different minds of how to solve that problem. And I think to a certain extent, the disagreement you see in Montpelier over the best way to go about that is somewhat reflective of disagreement in the general population about how Vermont ought to be going about this.
Neil, how do you think the Democrats' message is going out there? And I mean, sort of in a bumper sticker, what is their message?
That's always been their challenge. It was their challenge last year when the governor kept repeating $26 million in savings, you know, from the statewide healthcare contract for educators. The problem with countering a message like that is it takes a lot more words, and it's difficult to sort of condense it into a bumper sticker slogan. I think they're going to have to try and make the case that their plan is fiscally responsible. They're going to have to tie it into budgets that grow less than what the governor's calculated growth rate is, and try and sell this as a whole. But it takes a lot of words to make that case.
And Pete, do you see this as being a big campaign issue?
Yeah, I mean, I think it will be the same. Phil Scott has been running on the issue of affordability through the lens of education spending since we first saw him emerge as a candidate for governor. And we've seen the last two sessions dominated in large part by his proposals to bring that education spending down. And I think you can count on him to be out there in the summer and fall using this again as a springboard for reaching out to the voters out there.
And Neil, the governor made a comment at his press conference yesterday, and he repeated it here today, that if a person knows in their community that their school budget is going to go up around 5%, that they don't necessarily think, oh, that also might result in an increase in my property taxes. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a little surprising.
Yeah, I think we all did. We asked a few follow-up questions about it. You know, do I think people look at their school budget and calculate in their heads, well, my tax rate's going up 2.38% or 3 pennies, you know, on the rate? No, I don't think they do that. I think there is a general sense that if you spend more on schools, it's going to cost more overall in tax revenue needed to pay for it. I don't know. That's his belief, and probably many people out there share that belief.
We're almost out of time, but I wanted to ask both of you very briefly. We're going to have a special session. Does this thing get resolved in the special session, Pete?
Yes.
Yeah. I do believe they will put a budget and education plan together.
Horrible things happen when you don't have a state budget.
Yeah, entering July 1st without a budget would be something really special to witness, I think.
Probably never has happened in the state of Vermont's history.
I don't know that it has.
I don't think there's a precedent for that, and I don't think that anybody wants to set one.
No.
We're going to be watching these issues very closely. Neil Goswami of WCAX-TV, VPR's Pete Hirschfeld, many thanks for being on the program.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.